Eulogies and lies. That's something that you probably won't hear a lot in the world. Even when I came up with this title, I was questioning, do I really want to preach about eulogies and lies? Do I really want to preach about something like that? Well, I said I was going to do it, so here we go. Kind of can't back away from it now, right? Death is going to happen. It's one of the few things in life that's guaranteed. We're going to live and we're going to die. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. People have been trying their absolute best since we came onto this earth to get away from that, to prolong our lives. Now all this modern medicine and stuff is happening, and people are doing everything we possibly can to live longer. But at the end of the day, we are going to die. There's nothing to talk about, nothing to argue about. It's just going to happen. And when we die, when we leave this earth, somebody's going to take our body and they're going to put it in front of our family or friends, or somebody's going to lay us in front of a church. Somebody's going to put us in a funeral home, and we're going to look at that person in that coffin, or we're going to look at that coffin alone and say, this person is gone. They're not here anymore. We have funerals in this culture. In other cultures, people do different things, but in this culture, for sure, we have funerals and we grieve, and there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible talks about grieving, so therefore there is absolutely nothing wrong with somebody passing away. We're putting them in a box and we're looking at them and grieve the loss of that person. In those funerals that we have for people, we have eulogies. These eulogies are kind of a tribute to that person, right? People will get up and they will talk and they'll say very nice things. They will say very, very nice things about these people. They will say this person lived a great life. They'll give all the positive attributes about this person. They'll say this person, you know, was a faithful person. This person loved God. And all of that could be absolutely phony. All of that could be absolutely something that they made up. I got a question for you. When people get up and give eulogies to people or tributes to people, in our culture today, is it the truth? The question is, when people get up and say, well, Bob was a nice person, or Billy was a nice person, or she was so nice and she did this, is it the truth? I can remember growing up, my uncle, his name was Uncle George, and Uncle George would get drunk all the time, and in the middle of the night, Uncle George would come bam on our doors, and he would say stuff and do mean stuff. He even tried to fight his own sister at our house, which was my mom, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Uncle George lived a horrible life. Everybody knew he lived a horrible life. Nobody could deny that. But when he died, and when they laid him in front of the church, I vividly remember the preacher saying, oh, George was just such a good guy. And I know for a fact that George is going home to be with God. And I can remember saying, after the funeral, I went to my mother and I says, is he talking about the George that was at our house 2 weeks ago? Is that the George that he was talking about? And my mom didn't really say anything about it. But that's just the society that we live in. We're going to talk about eulogy, what it really means. Eulogy comes from eulogia in Greek. The EU in there stands for true. And the logia is for words. The meaning of the word literally means true words or text about a person. It doesn't mean that you get up there and just make stuff up. The word is derived from something that's supposed to be the absolute truth, but that doesn't seem like it happens all the time. I mean, think about it. If somebody's dead, why would we lie about that person that's laying in that casket right there? They're not going to hear it. So why are we going through all this trouble as a society to say this person lived a good life, this person did all that, well, they're not going to hear about it in the first place? The truth is, we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for us as a society. There's a reason we're doing it, and we're going to talk about that today. Before we get to the reason why we as a society or we as humankind will just blatantly say things that are not true in a funeral or a eulogy, we're going to talk about death itself. Death is mentioned over 300 times in the scriptures. It's not something that the scriptures shy away from. Death is something that you'll read about just about on every other page. In the scriptures, there's a lot of mentions of death, physical death, and spiritual deaths as well. There's both sides of the coin. There's people literally dying, and then there's people having spiritual deaths as well. Revelation 2 and 10, Jesus said we ought to be faithful until death. So death is everywhere. Death is something that we should read about in the scriptures all the time if we're picking up our Bibles on a daily basis. But yet nowadays, it seems like we don't really talk about death in the context that it should be talked about. It seems like when somebody passes away, we don't want to really have that real conversation about it. It's like they just passed away, they walked away, and nothing happened. There's a lot of situations where we need to talk about this. If it's in the Bible, then therefore we need to have a conversation about it. We shouldn't shy away from it. We should understand, hey kids, you're going to die one day, and mommy and dad is going to die one day, and we better have our heart right with God before that happens, because it doesn't matter what somebody says about us in this church after the fact. It matters what we did. Death is mentioned so much in the scriptures that we should absolutely talk about it, and we should go further than talking about it. We should understand it. We should understand what happens when we die. We should understand the process of dying, and we should understand what happens when that moment comes, when there is no more life in our body and we're going to meet our Maker. We should have a conversation about that. I mean, the scriptures talked about it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. So in the Bible, you can see there, one of God's greatest servants, Moses, they talked about him. But I want you to notice something particular about this passage that I didn't see when I first read it. It says, it actually gives Moses a little eulogy, doesn't it? The scripture says that his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. What the scripture is saying here is that Moses didn't go to the grave limping there. Moses didn't go to the grave just, you know, oh, I'm barely here. You know, I've done all I can do. It says that Moses went to the grave strong. He was still doing everything he could for the Lord to the day he died. Moses embodied what Revelation 2 and 10 said, be faithful unto death. And so we should look at that as an example and say, when we die, we want the truth to be spoken about us. We don't want somebody they have to make up something. The reason why, the absolute reason why society has turned to talking about myths about people when they die, the reason why society has said, oh, well, Billy's such a good person, the reason why we've got to a point where we don't want to say what's really going on is because really people just don't want to acknowledge God. That's what that boils down to. Because if you think about it, if you acknowledge God, if you acknowledge that there is a God up there in the heavens, then you also have to acknowledge that there's a heaven. And you might also have to acknowledge that there's a hell. And that also may make you say, I'm not living my life the right way that I should be. So if you acknowledge God, there's a whole bunch of things that fall in line with that. It's not just merely saying that Billy laid in his coffin and we're telling lies about him. What the fact of the matter is, we're not acknowledging that there is a God that is going to judge us according to our deeds. That's what all of this comes from. In society, we just don't want to talk about that anymore. We've gotten to a point where we just shy away from it. The truth of the matter, the absolute truth about all of this, is people live their lives for the way they want to live their lives. People do these things. People wake up and go to work. People wake up and live their lives with their kids. People do all of these things, and they don't think about God at all. And then they live these fairy tale lives, knowing full well that there's a God out there who created all of this, and then they want a fairy tale ending as well. So that's exactly what it is when somebody lays here and somebody says, oh, this person was good. It's a fairy tale if they have not been doing what the scripture says they should be doing. That's all it is. 1 John 5:18 through 19 says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. It didn't, you know, shy away from that. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. Evil is everywhere, and just quite frankly, church, we sometimes do what we want just like everybody else. And I'm challenging you this morning to look at it for the end game. I'm challenging you to look at it this morning from the eulogy back. What can we do as Christians? What can we do as brethren? All this long life journey to make sure that when that preacher gets up there and says, hey, this is what's going on with this brother. He was a good brother. He was a faithful brother. He can be telling the absolute truth and have absolute confidence in what we did. And we ought to be sitting here in that same situation saying, just, you know, what can I do, Father, to make sure that I'm doing absolutely everything I can for you? Matthew 25 and 41 says, then he will say, I'm sorry, I didn't pull it up. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I'm not trying to teach a doom and gloom lesson. What I'm trying to do is let you understand that there is a heaven and there is a hell, even if nobody out there is talking about it. Just because they're not talking about it, just because we don't see it on TV, just because celebrities aren't, saying, hey, this is what it is, it's there. And we ought to believe it. Just like we ought to believe in hell, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, we should be joyous as Christians that there is a heaven in the first place. We shouldn't walk around and be like, oh, well, you know, I got to worry about this hell all the time. No, we should have absolute confidence that there's a heaven. And if we're doing what we're supposed to do, when we lay there, we know, and everybody knows, and all our family and friends, we're in heaven. See this guy, Prince? Everybody remembers Prince, right? Prince made some pretty good music. So I remember vividly when Prince died that all these specials came up on TV. And the reason why I remember this like it was yesterday is because like 2 weeks before he died, I saw another special about Prince, about how he was not the best person in the world. About how he was just, he didn't live a godly life. We'll just put it like that. And I remember that vividly. I remember all these people getting up saying, oh, well, Prince did this and Prince did that and blah, 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 blah. And then Prince died, all of a sudden the whole narrative changed. Everything was different at that point. Everybody said how nice this guy was. And everybody said how good this guy did. And everybody said all of these things. Have you ever noticed that when somebody passes away today, they all of a sudden become immortal, like they're just way up here? Have you ever noticed that? I have. I've noticed that when people die, we often look at it and be like, oh, they just did. They're so great and they're so wonderful and they live this great, wonderful life. And their deed shows something completely different. And I just ask myself, where did that come from? How did we get here that's okay? The truth is, it doesn't matter what Prince did. It doesn't matter what we think about Prince. The only thing that matters is, did he get his heart right with God? That's the only thing that matters. And if he didn't do that, then that's on him. And we still have to carry on. Here's the truth about the word. Matthew 5 and 29 says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out. Throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown in hell. You know, until I was doing the study on this, I was talking to Chad about it. I said, you know, hell is mentioned a lot in the Bible. I didn't really know that until I started to pay attention. You want to know who talks about it a lot? Jesus the Christ. Jesus is there screaming at the rooftop saying, hey, you can follow me. And if you don't follow me, here's the other option. And we'll get to that. Matthew 10:28 says, do not fear those who kill the body and are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So here it is. I've laid it out for you. I've told you everything there is to know. I've showed you that there is a hell. I've showed you that there is a heaven. I've showed you that the world doesn't really want to talk about that. I've showed you that most of the time people get up here and say, not in the church. I'm not talking about the church. I want to be real clear about that. I'm not saying in the church, but I mean in society, people will often say this person was great, this person was holy, this person was this, and they're the furthest thing forward in the world. We should look up into the sky and acknowledge there is a God who created the heavens and the earth, and by doing so, we should believe that he is going to judge us. That's what should happen. Period. we don't have to really talk about it any further. People live their lives the way they want to, but they don't acknowledge there's a God, and therefore they don't acknowledge there's a heaven and hell, and therefore at a funeral we just carry on like nothing happened. But I want to ask you this question here, church. If you're sitting with your family, you're sitting with your friends, and somebody flashes across the TV and this person passed away, and everybody's going on and say, oh, this person's so nice and so on, you know what? Why not stand up and say, you know what? I get what they're saying on TV, but it doesn't matter what they say on TV about this person. We're supposed to be the light of the world and spread the truth and spread the good news and spread everything that's good about God. We're supposed to be able to stand up and say, hey, I don't know what his life was. I don't know what this person was, but I do know this, that this Bible was written to save souls and it has the power to save you and me. So when these situations come up where people are passing away and people are doing all these things, we should take it as an opportunity to say, this Bible can save your soul because it saved mine. That's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be concerned about what people are saying in the eulogy and so on and so forth. We should really be understanding exactly what's going on. Because at the end of the day, as a brother read there, God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. And we should be able to say that. We shouldn't look at the wrath and anger and say, oh, everybody that's, you know, doing bad is going to have wrath and anger. We should be saying, no, don't worry about wrath and anger. Follow Jesus, because he doesn't want you to have wrath and anger. He wants you to come and live with him. We shouldn't be negative about it. We should be saying that this Jesus is standing there beckoning and calling. He's saying, please just come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I will save you from your sins. When these earthly situations happen where we're doing things that don't make sense, like saying something good about a person that was when he was clearly bad, we should look at it and say, what does the Bible have to say about that? And how can I use this opportunity to spread the good news? That's what we should be doing. I don't want you to be duped into just letting these things pass by. You have Aretha Franklin, Michael Jackson, John McCain, and for the past three, you know, weeks or especially with John McCain, I don't know what kind of man he was because I don't know him, but people are convinced, the world is convinced that just because he's in the spotlight or these people are in the spotlight, that their soul is secure. And the Bible has something very different to say about that. If the Bible has it to say about them, then the Bible has it to say about us. So we should be looking at these situations as a reminder. And that's all I'm asking this morning. When you see these situations about eulogies, when you see these situations about people passing away, don't just look at it and let that pass by. Stop and say, how's my life with God? What can I do to make sure that I'm not in that situation? What can I do to make sure that when people are looking at that, I could be some type of morsel of truth for them for the day? But I'll say this, church, every coin has two sides, right? Every coin has a heads and tails. What about the other side of this where people have been doing exactly what God wants them to do? What about the side of it where people have went and gave their all for God? What about the side of it that people have studied their entire lives? People have given their entire lives, their entire lives of dedication to God. When we read this Revelation 2 and 10, and it says, be faithful unto death. What about those people that have been faithful unto death? What about those people that have just, on every day they wake up, they say, I want to be with God. Matthew 7, 13 through 14, we should be familiar with this. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is broad and the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I don't want to focus on the bad anymore here, church. I don't want to sit up here and talk about what, you know, the wrath of God is and how he's going to give it to the people who deserve it one day. I want to flip the coin and say, what about us who are doing the very best we can for God on a daily basis? And if I'm not doing the best I can for God on a daily basis, then why? That's what I want to flip the coin and say to you. Let's not worry about condemnation. Don't, let's not worry about that. Let's worry about what can we do to get right with God today. What can we do to make sure that we're not standing there or we're not laying in a coffin and somebody's having to kind of figure out. I mean, as a preacher, I don't want to have to do that. If somebody calls me to preach about one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't want to stand up there or a week before having to figure out what I'm going to say. I want to say that Billy did everything he possibly could for God. He went when he didn't want to go. He helped his brothers. He had compassion. When they needed something, he gave it to them. When he was hungry, they fed him. That's what I want somebody to say about me. I don't want nobody to have to come up and have to make stuff up about me. Don't put anybody in that situation. Just be faithful to God in the first place. Revelation 21 and 4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And I'm standing here before you, church, saying that when that day comes for me, when that day comes for Buck Barrett, I don't want to have to wonder. I don't want you to have to wonder. And you shouldn't want anybody to have to wonder for you. Our God is loving, he's kind, he's merciful. He wants to do everything that he can, that he possibly can to get us to the promised land. Before we go, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. I want everybody to pick this up and read it with me. I'll wait till the pages stop turning. People are looking. These pages are so thin, aren't they, nowadays in the Bible? All right, we're there. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to leave here one day, aren't we? We're going to go be with or stand before God. Amen. And it's my prayer every day that as much as it hurts or people do things that hurt you or how tired you get, because we all get tired, don't we? It doesn't matter. All of those things, I want to be able to say, I want somebody to be able to say at my funeral that Buck did everything that he possibly could for God. I want somebody to have complete confidence in the life that I've lived. And I want to have complete confidence in the life that you've lived. And God has given us every tool that we need to ensure that when it comes time for somebody to deliver our eulogy, they don't have to wonder and study and figure out what we're going to say. They're going to be able to say, this was a servant of God. It's easy to focus on the negative, but let's focus on the positive and realize that God wants us to be saved. It's his sincere wish that all men are saved. Amen? Amen. I've reached the end. This lesson wasn't long. It wasn't meant to be. But I just wanted to remind you that the world has a bunch of tricks out there, and this is just one of them. There's a lot of tricks out there. sitting up here saying that somebody was good, knowing full well they're not. That's a trick to make you believe that they're going to get, you know, whatever they think they're going to get instead of getting what God says they're going to get. It's just a trick. It's just tomfoolery, as we say in the South. So don't fall into that. Let us understand that God is going to pay us according to what we've done. And that will be the only thing that will stand on that day. Whatever your needs may be, if you are a Christian and you have some kind of way fallen short, believe and trust that everything that you do, God is watching. And if you want to come back to Him, then now is the appropriate time. You can say, I need the prayers of the church. You can walk up here and say, church, pray for me, and we will. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not somebody that has been baptized and had the blood of Jesus wash away your sins, then now is a perfect opportunity to do so. You can get up and walk up here and say, I want to be saved. What must I do to be saved? As they said in Acts 2 and 38. What must I do to be saved? Now is the perfect opportunity. And we will baptize you for the remissions of your sins, and you can go live your life and give honor and glory to God. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.